I'm on vacation every single day, cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, cause I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day. Every single day, every single day.
Okay, so I'm like, obviously, I'm kind of too much to do, too many things going on in my head, and I got to get settled and centered, right? Isn't that part of what we do when we come together? Try to figure out who we are and what we're doing and put it all together so that it works. You probably didn't even notice this, but we had a little bit of a technicality back here. I know, we pulled it off. Sort of. It happens. It's the truth is that God knows the devil knows we're about to have a really great, well, we're in the middle of a really great service, and he's trying to mess that up. We're just not going to let him, right? We're not going to let him because we're here to celebrate what God's doing in our lives. That's why we come together on Sunday. We come together to celebrate, to focus on, and to drink in more of what we need from him so that we can go and do what he's called us to do. Well, you probably don't know this. Well, maybe you probably do know this, I should say. But we have been talking about going on vacation. This shirt says Aruba. I've never been there. If you'd like to send your pastors to Aruba, just let us know. But I have been to the Bahamas, and I have a blue shirt. Some of you remember that one. And it says Bahamas. And I always wear it thinking of that time that I was down there. And I was down there actually building a church. It was pretty fun, and yet it was doing God's work at the same time. So I feel like today, this is an exciting day. And what I mean by that is that we've been talking about what we need to do when we're going on vacation. And since we've already considered how we pre-plan our time away, and we've already picked what we need to make sure we enjoy our vacation, right? We've picked that out. We've packed it all up, and since we've talked about how we load and go to our destination, it seems appropriate for us to talk about what happens while we relax and enjoy on vacation, right? So today is the day when we consider the real vacation celebration we've been planning. Let me start by making sure you all understand that I'm not getting ready to go on vacation. I have had multiple people make comments on the way out the door. I hope you enjoy your vacation. I hope it's fun. I hope you have a good time. I hope you can relax. I'm not really planning to go on vacation right now. I do hope to go on a vacation. But right now, I'm not planning to go on vacation. I feel like this has been a fun sermon series. And I have shared that I really, really enjoy my times on vacation. But Barb and I just do not have a vacation planned for our near future. Please hear that. But we will be traveling as I complete my duties as District NYI President. I'm about to wrap that up. I'm about to not be in that position anymore. And with that said, there's a whole lot of things that have to happen this summer. One of them being we are headed to Phoenix, Arizona. Now, that sounds like a good vacation spot. But when you're in charge of 60 people, it's not really a vacation. That doesn't mean we won't have fun. Please don't hear that. But we are in charge. I am still going to be president, and Barb is one of our leaders for that trip. So everything that goes on, whether it's right or wrong, will fall to us, not vacation time. And we'll be spending a week at camp. Everybody knows when a youth leader goes to teen camp, that is vacation. Thank you. I'm really glad for that reaction. It is not vacation. And again, being president, everything that rises and falls at that camp falls to my shoulders. I will be passing the baton during camp this year. So when I come back from camp, I will no longer be president. With that said, I don't know, just a thought, but if anybody would like to go to camp and help us out as a counselor, we really need a male and a female counselor to go to camp with us. Just because of all the responsibilities. And you know, I wasn't going to do that from here, but I thought we just did a year of the Good News Club. And when we said, hey, if you'd like to help, some of you stepped up and said, yeah, I'd like to help. So if somebody would be willing to give us a week of your time to go and sleep in a very uncomfortable bed and hang out with a whole bunch of teenagers, about 300 of them, we would absolutely love it. And I don't want to paint a bad picture. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's even more fun when you're not in charge. So if you're interested, if you're willing, see me today at lunch. By the way, everybody needs to stay for lunch. Okay? All right. Very good. Now let's go back to vacation, because I want to consider the main point of us going on our vacation. And I'd like to start by reading the scripture found in the Gospel of John. I'm going to be sharing it today. It comes from chapter 16, verses 25-33. Will you please stand in honor and reverence for the word of the Lord? It says this, I have spoken these matters in figures of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively and will tell you plainly all about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly, because you love me and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. Then his disciples said, at last, you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything, and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus asked, do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's now. It's here now. When you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Friends of reading, you can be seated. Let me pray. Lord God, we know that you have come to bless us. We know that you have called us to bless others in your name. And so, Lord, as we work our way through the scripture today, and as we consider how it challenges us to live, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to receive exactly how you have it for us. Today, God, I pray, as always, that you would hide me in the shadow of your cross, that I would speak only your words, and that your words would not only be heard, but would be received by each one that hears them. God, I pray that your Spirit would protect every ear, that it would open, that he would open their ears to hear, but close anything from me. God, I ask that you would be glorified today through your word and through the preaching of this message, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This might sound a little strange to some of you, but this passage of scripture challenges me while it brings me peace at the same time. Let me explain that. It challenges me by the way Jesus is addressing his followers. I wonder often if, well, actually, I do this all the time when I'm reading scripture, and I put myself in that passage. And I can't help but think he's hitting me in the head again, saying, will you open up your mind and listen to what I got for you? See, he seems to be telling them that he's not going to pull any punches with them, and that he's going to give them the straight truth. I get it. My challenge comes from my belief that he's been doing that from the very beginning. I mean, I believe Jesus was constantly telling them that they needed to hear, and that he never withheld any information from them as he was teaching them. I believe, as I read scripture, that Jesus is sharing truth all the time. Now I understand that he was speaking in parables, and I understand that he was hard to read at times, but I also read that when his disciples would ask him about his teaching, he always took the time to explain what he was saying. So, when he says, soon I will stop speaking figuratively and will tell you plainly all about the Father, all I can assume is that he's come to a place where he's ready to reveal his relationship with the Father, maybe. He's come to a place where he's willing to just say, look, this is what the Father's like. You know me, you know him. And again, I'm not really sure that he hasn't already been doing that. I kind of feel like he has. Just a couple to jot down, if you'd like, a couple places you could read about this. He says, I and the Father are one, in John 10, verse 30. And he says, the Father is in me, and I in the Father, in John chapter 10, verse 38. That's just a little portion of scripture, but there's often references to who God is and how the Father and the Son work together. So Jesus says he's not speaking figuratively anymore, and that he will be speaking plainly from now on. I had a pastor one time, and he always said, I work off of the KISS principle. To keep it simple, stupid. Right? That's me. I just need, just give it to me. Plain and simple. Many of you know that. Many of you speak very straight with me. It works well, because I tend to speak straight with most people. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. Sometimes it means my wife's going to pull me off to the side and say, don't do that again. So Jesus says that he's not speaking figuratively. He's speaking plainly. How many times have you parents told your children that you're not willing to continue to tell them what you expect of them? How many times have you talked about with your children, I have told you over and over, and, you know, when you do this, they tend to stand on that last nerve, don't they? Especially when you've said it 100 billion times. It's funny because my kids will often say, yeah, when Dad said it, we knew. Which is really funny because I was always the pushover in the family. I still am. I can show you a video from yesterday that I'm still the pushover. But the truth is, when you say it over and over and over, it gets old and you get tired of it, right? And I feel like Jesus is pulling out all the stops and saying, I've told you in so many ways what you need to know. Now I'm telling you one more time that I'm about to leave this world to be with my Father. He and I are one, and we're working to help you understand that we are with you always. feel like that's pretty simple. And I also feel like that's pretty great news. Does anybody else think that's great news? Okay, so some of you are here. Good, I'm glad to hear that. See, when we have God, the Father, and the Son working with us to help us see the way and the truth to the truth, we can honestly say we have a gift. We can honestly say we have a gift. And I know it's not spoken in this passage, but Jesus went on to tell his followers where they needed to be so that they could receive an even better gift when he was gone. He told them to be in Jerusalem after the Passover so that they would be ready to receive the Comforter. The Comforter, also known as the Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings us to salvation. He's the one who brings us to understanding. He's the one who shows us our need of holiness. And he's the one who fills us with power. Power to live above God, above sin. That's the power of God, as in the plural meaning of God. See, the word God is actually a plural word. We could say, God loves us with all they are. I know that doesn't work. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. When we say God, that's what we mean. And also, as we relish the fact that he's given us everything and he's done everything needed for us to experience his freedom, he gives us even more. So, how do we tie all of this into the enjoyment of our time away? Well, I see this as a complete and total freedom as we relinquish more and more of ourselves to the leadership of Christ. And he calls us to enjoy the love that he supplies. You know that? He doesn't want us to live boring, washed up lives. He wants us to enjoy life. He challenges us to share that love that he gives us with everyone who will receive it. And he fills us with so much joy as we walk with him, we just can't contain it all. That makes us want to shout, I hope. I could tell someone over here wanted to shout. And when we listen and allow his joy to come out of us, we experience even more of him. See, the more we live in him, the more we speak of him, the more he fills us. And the fruits of the Spirit begin to spill out of us on other people who are around us. Now, I know I'm not at the end of my sermon, but if anyone ever needs to come and pray at these altars, I want you to please feel free to come. You never need an invitation from me when the Holy Spirit is inviting you to come and pray. Ever. So, every time I start thinking about how Holy Spirit speaks into my life, I get excited. And you know how it is when you're fully relaxed and enjoying time away? And then out of the blue, you feel a fresh breeze kind of blow over you and new energy seems to flood your entire being. For me, that's usually on a beach somewhere. I'm just honest. But I can tell you it's happened on the top of a mountain and it's happened in my room. When you're just fully relaxed and when you're just seeking God and allowing him to speak, and there's just this breath that just flows over you and fills you with newness and fullness. That's how I feel when I'm on vacation. When I get truly disengaged from my normal life. And that's how I feel when the Holy Spirit washes over me. He just brings so much more relaxation. When life is going crazy, when it's turmoil, when I have to be at the church at 6 o'clock in the morning knowing I'm not going to leave until probably 8:30 or 9 that night. Yeah, that might have happened recently. You know, those kinds of things happen, and they're just not that big a deal when you know you're doing what God's calling you to do, and the Holy Spirit's leading you and filling you and giving you more. He just brings more relaxation, and He fills me with the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And He gives me all that I can handle. He does. He gives it to me, and I have to give it away before He can give me more. That's vacation to me. He gives me freedom to enjoy these things, and He leads me to do something with them. He never leaves me wondering why He's filled me. And He never causes me to be confused about how I can put these gifts to work. Instead, He always gives me direction and hope as I walk steadily forward in Him. I pray it's the same for you. I hope you realize that He always gives you direction and hope as you walk steadily forward in Him. That's why I can say a good vacation settles my soul and brings me renewed awareness. As I begin to relax and enjoy my time away from a normal daily grind, I find myself recentering on things, the things that are most important to me. And this is when I find that same direction and hope that I was just talking about. Have you ever realized how that works? The more relaxed and settled you are, or you let yourself get, the more focused you become. That's what vacations are meant to do. And this is what happens when we settle in the arms of the Holy Spirit and give Him freedom to direct our lives. Verses 31 through 33 say, Jesus asked, "Do you finally believe? But the time is coming indeed, it's now here, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." There's the peace I was talking about at the beginning of the message. There's the peace. We all know we're going to have some hardships in life. And we all experience things like heartbreak and sickness and conflict. But when we're living in true relationship with Jesus, always know He's going through it with us. And do you know, if you read the back of the book, He wins. He wins. That means when He says, "I have overcome the world," He truly has overcome the world. Revelation 3, chapter 20, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on His throne." You can see that this victory we receive comes from that relationship we are experiencing as we walk closely with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's why we know we're ready for anything. It's true. We know we're ready for anything when we're living our lives focused on and connected to Jesus. As we prepare to move into a baptism celebration, I want to challenge each of you to think about how God's speaking to you today, and maybe even how He's been speaking to you through this sermon series. He's given His church new life, and we here at CC NAS, we're a part of that movement. We know that He's calling us to understand better the vision that He keeps supplying. He keeps giving this vision to more and more people. He's called us to become equipped Christ followers serving our neighbors. Equipped Christ followers serving our neighbors. He keeps drawing us deeper into the relationship we share in the Holy Spirit as we enjoy His infilling love that ends up overflowing and splashing all over the people who get close to us. I hope you're seeing that happen. And we realize we're here to see lives transformed, empowered, and forever changed. That's why we're here. So, as we continue to see God's vision come to life in this church and this community, let's all make the decision to walk closely with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him the freedom to lead us as He sees it. And if we will love the people He sends to this church with the intentional and unconditional love that He gives us, then we will see Him change lives and build His kingdom here in Spring Hill. I believe that with all of my heart. This brings me to the reason for celebrating baptism. This is the sign of new life. The people who enter into this ritual understand that we do this in obedience to Jesus' example. It's an outward sign of a decision to follow God. It's putting action to the decision to receive new life through a relationship with Jesus. So as the guys get ready, I'm going to ask the band to lead us in another song. Will you please, as they come forward, will you prepare to worship? Because God wants us to worship. He changes us as we worship.